Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
And finally, the Patriots at home against the Baltimore Ravens here at Gillette. Patriots laying 3. What a battle it's going to be. And my prediction is this. What a football game this is going to be as it comes down to the wire. They are tied at 23. And then the man, Steven Gostkowski, crushes a 43-yard field goal between the uprights as time expires, and your New England Patriots win the game.
35-yard field goal attempt coming from Steven Gostkowski to try to win it. We're set to go, waiting for the snap. Snap, ball down, kick up, kick on the way. Kick is good!
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I appreciate
Pete Shepherd.
I don't know if we should be playing We Are the Champions yet, but is that for me?
You nailed the pick.
Is that for me? Yeah. And, you know, I try to warn some of my fellow colleagues in the media. And, you know, people think that I always pick the Patriots every single week. I do not pick the Patriots every single week, and that has not been the case over the last 10 years, okay? Have I picked them a lot? Yes, I picked them a lot. You know why? Because they're a freaking good team! That's why! But there have been times over the years where I didn't think they'd win and they didn't. A couple times that I didn't think they'd win and they did. Not often has that happened. That has not happened often. But I will tell you this. In games like that on Sunday, and I have to sit all week long and listen all week long. Most of this week was national. These freaking idiots like Michael Irvin and all these bubbleheads out there. And a lot of them, again, ex-players who just don't get it. I mean, they just don't get it. They sit there and they babble on with a pedantic babble about crap, about stuff that isn't important, about stuff that doesn't attribute to winning and losing football games. They forget who's coaching this team. They forget who's playing quarterback for this team. It's just amazing to me how I have to come on after a game like this. And I don't care. It's my show now. I'll do whatever the hell I want. And I'm going to rip the national media again because they're a bunch of morons for the most part.
Such an idiot.
How the hell, as I said last week a million times, how the hell do you anoint the Baltimore Ravens after week 4 or 5 as some AFC perennial power? This team.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Team that lost to the Bengals, the team the Patriots crushed, a team that beat Charlie Batch and the Pittsburgh Steelers at the last second, and a team that barely beat the Cleveland Browns and won that game, I think, because of a turnover late at home. Where do these people come? I mean, it's the same thing ESPN 2 weeks ago. They got the Kansas City Chiefs up there, and they already got the, what's that, the bubblehead from Miami, what's his name, talking about the undefeated record. They're 3-0. It's 3 games. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. They just totally disregard the fact that Belichick is 9-2 after a bye week. It's all Randy Moss. They can't win. They can't do that. Deion Branch, maybe he'll help. Maybe he won't. But they can't stretch the field. How the hell can the Patriots win? Oh, my God. It's just nauseating. Freaking nauseating to hear it all week long. And locally, you know who you are. You know, the same ones that, eating more crow this week. You know, but you're used to that. You know who you are. I'm not going to call you out. You know who you are. The frauds that are out there who make it personal and constantly pick against the Patriots because of personal reasons, because they don't get the answers they want in press conferences. But they fail to take into consideration actual football facts. It's all about freaking headline hype, some of you people. God, grow up. They can't win. They don't have Randy Moss. How are they going to win? Baltimore Ravens are one of the perennial powers in the NFL. How do you come to that conclusion in week freaking 4 for any of these teams? Are you kidding me? Do the New Orleans Saints look like a perennial power? All right, they won on Sunday, but has any team looked like a perennial power? It's too early yet. You know? And even if the Patriots were 5-0, I'd still be saying it's too early. Wait till at least week 9 or 10. And then I love this. I love all my friends who are football fans and everything else, but, you know, I'm with a couple of them on Sunday. And you hear quotes like this, and they're nice guys and everything, but it makes you want to, you know, wring their necks. When they say quotes like that, I'm sure you guys are out there feel the same way, who are not as rational as I, who have to deal with a question like this. someone says, "Well, the Patriots are going to win today. The Patriots are going to lose today." No, no, no. I mean, it's not even going to be close. It's pick Baltimore. It's easy money. It's easy jelly beans. It's this, that, and the other thing. And then you ask one simple question: why? And you know what they say? They give you the Jeff Spicoli answer from freaking Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I don't know. I don't know. That's your answer? I don't know? You ask for a reason. Give me a reason why you think, well, just because. Just because and I don't know are not acceptable answers. It's unbelievable to me. How many people, and some of them are my friends, give me a reason. I give them like 7 or 8 reasons why I thought the Patriots would win the game. Then I get from some of them, I don't know, or just because. Oh, it pisses me off. They don't want to listen. They don't want to listen. Look at the matchups. Look at the team. Look at the coach. Look at the quarterback. Look at the other team's quarterback. This is so great. Am I gloating? You're damn right I'm gloating. Because once again, I mean, I can't tell you how many times over the last 9 or 10 years there have been situations like this where you just know when the whole rest of the country is stacked up against this team, the Patriots are going to come through and somehow find a way to win. I know it didn't look greater. And again, you're watching the game with your friends, and they're down by 10, and they're talking like they're down by 50. It's only a couple of scores. That's not that much in the NFL. You tighten up a little bit, change your scheme up a little bit on defense like the Patriots did, and all of a sudden Flacco looks like, you know, totally flustered. Can't do anything. So I'm asking. Oh, we just got word of this. You know this was going to happen. Brandon Merriweather just fined $50,000 for his helmet-to-helmet, two helmet-to-helmet hits, which is, that's probably not too bad. I'm wondering if his suspension still is going to happen. We know, Jason, if he's going to get suspended, nothing yet. That might not be announced till later on today, but Brandon Merriweather fined $50,000 for two helmet-to-helmet hits, and that's, I have no problem with that. Can't say, you know, it was a boneheaded move. You saw Coach Belichick's expression on the heap hit, you know, and it's just stupid. You got to have – I know it's tough, and I know it's going to be tough to coach like this. It has to. But the player has got to be aware. Brandon Merriweather's not a rookie anymore. He's got to be aware of the situation. Same as a defensive lineman with the sacks on the quarterback. It's a very tough thing to do. All right? But I think the fine is justified. I have no problem with that. I can't say that I have any problem with anything that's happened as far as that goes. But I did have a problem with, once again, the way the national media and some of the local people around here just absolutely gave the Patriots no chance. I mean, like they're going to get lose by 7, 10, 20. Like, no chance at all. How are they going to move the ball? How are they going to do this? How's the offensive line going to handle that freaking tremendous Baltimore defense? All right, they're pretty good defense. And I told you, the secondary is not that good. There's no Ed Reed back there. And once Brady got in his groove in the second half, we know he did a good job. And that was with a couple of big drops by Hernandez, who also made some big plays, but had a couple of big drops. So, I mean, you gotta just look at the game and the situation from all angles. If I hear one more guy say they're not going to win because, or I don't know, I mean, just take that, go to kindergarten with that attitude. Go speak to some kids in a sandbox or something, you know? You're the grown man saying this to me. I ask him why. I don't know. Just because. Because nationally, they hear on ESPN, how about that dope Michael Irvin on the NFL Network? We have that, Jason. We have that quote from him anywhere? No?
Don't you?
Here's a guy who said, I think it was quoted today. I think he said it. Yeah, even after the Patriots beat Baltimore, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, who said the Patriots will never win another Super Bowl with Bill Belichick. No where, no how, no time. Some ridiculous comment like that. Michael freaking Irvin. Another personal attack. Again, a guy just like one of my friends, just not looking at it logically. And what does that mean? I mean, how do you come to that conclusion after week 5? What the hell does Michael Irvin know? If you can even understand anything he says, what does he know? Now, let's talk about all the good things that happened in this game for the Patriots, which most of you already know. By the way, my new favorite name in the NFL by far is Zoltán Mezko, who should, you know, that should be like a video game name. You know, that's like a, you know, had the big 65-yard punt. No, he got a hell of a roll. I understand that. That was a huge play in that game. Set up the game-winning field goal in overtime. Huge punt there. That could have been disastrous. Other guys, I mean, Deion Branch, you can't say enough. And, you know, the coach going up to him and giving him the big smile and hug it. I mean, you don't see coach do that very often, you know, right on the field. Pretty emotional moment. I teared up. I'm sure you did, too. I did. And now, you know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead, who just continue to make plays. And Woodhead, is he? I mean, he's just unbelievable. You know, and I'm going to keep saying, I just can't believe the Jets were stupid enough to cut him. And you saw, if you saw Hard Knocks the last couple of weeks and this kid play, I was like, oh, if he gets caught up in a numbers game there and the Patriots can pick him up, he is going to be able to make an impact. And I was so glad that they got him. This kid makes plays, makes things happen. How about Sean Crable? Yeah, it's a big place too. Huge plays in this game. Not to mention the quarterback, Tom Brady, who got going in the second half. Not a great game. Two interceptions. One I really don't count was a Hail Mary, so I really don't count that. But overall, pretty good game. This just in from ProFootballTalk.com. The headline, Bill O'Brien on Randy Moss flap, quote, that's what we do. So Patriots quarterbacks coach Bill O'Brien calls the team's offensive plays, and he had a dispute with Randy Moss during halftime of the team's Monday night game against the Dolphins over Moss having only one pass thrown his way. But O'Brien says people who think that dispute is the reason Moss was traded are overreacting. Brian tells the Herald, I've been coaching for upwards of 20 years, and that's what we do. We coach, and the players have input in what we're coaching. Things like that are going to happen, which is what I think I tried to tell most of you a couple weeks ago. That is not the reason why he was seen out, get out of here. I mean, traded away. Although Patriots coach Bill Belichick has previously denied having his own running with Moss on the plane ride home from that game, O'Brien seems to be confirming that the report of the locker room blow-up was true. O'Brien just says it's not a big deal. Randy and I had a great relationship. I really enjoyed coaching, O'Brien says. He's moved on to Minnesota, and I moved on to New England's next game to San Diego. In coaching, sometimes things like that happen. That's coaching. Football is a tough sport, and that's the way it is. So there you go. Not a big deal. Not a huge deal. The team has moved on. Want to join me at 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-543-7482. Of course, you can email me here at webradio@patriots.com. Also got my Facebook page open as well, and I will get to all of the emails and Facebook stuff too. Let's get to one of the emails. This is from Gustavo. Hey, Pete. This is in Brazil, my buddy from Brazil. Hey, Pete, what a game that was. You were right. Love your constant optimism, by the way. Keep it up. Well, I mean, yes, when it's warranted, yeah. For me, one of the best things was the Cunningham performance. Now I have a good amount of hope that we will have a good pass rush for years to come. A lot of people have been skeptical about the Patriots, both on the offense and the defense. Do you think that this is and will be a big part of their motivation to win the games? Are we the underdogs for now at least? Well, yeah, I mean, they're underdogs again in San Diego this week by 3 points. But, yeah, I just think, you know, I think you're going to see the team keep getting better and better in all three phases, particularly on defense. We know what the offense is going to be able to do, Moss or Nopa. You know that this team's going to be able to put up some points. And they'll put up some points against San Diego this week as well. Special teams is already way ahead of what we thought they were. And the defense is what everybody's going to be looking, and they took a huge step. I thought they took a step, pretty good, nice step in Miami for the most part, and they took a bigger step in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter and overtime when they really needed to step it up. They absolutely did it. Tremendous. Flacco was 1-for-7 on third down conversions in the fourth quarter and overtime. And they did a nice job. Everybody, for the most part, did a nice job down the stretch. But there's still some things in improve. Of course, I mean, it's a work in progress. But, you know, from what I read by some national pundits and some local, I mean, Patriots had no chance to win this game. How'd they do it? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. How could they stop the mighty Flacco, a guy who's so inconsistent? Now you know why. He's not a great quarterback. He's okay slash good. Not great. I won't even say he's consistently good because he's not. He's okay. He's better, a little bit better than average right now. I think he's got the potential to be a pretty good quarterback. I'm not using the word great at all. I said pretty good. And they very well could meet the Patriots again in the playoffs down the road. Would not be surprised one bit. Baltimore Ravens are a good football team. The Patriots are a good football team. The Jets got a gift in Denver on Sunday. That was pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. 46-yard pass interference call. But it happens.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Yeah, you should have, because I'll tell you what. Denver should have won that game. Absolutely should have won that game. But that's okay. Still a lot of football left to be played here. 508-543-7482 is the number to call. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email webradiopatriots.com. What is this email? It looks like War and Peace. Who sent this? Christopher. Hang on. I got to see how long this is. Come on, man. Come on, guys. I mean, I want to read as much as I can, but I'll read most of this off the air. I'll read some. I mean, this is like Warren. This is unbelievable.
It's a good email, though.
Oh, I don't doubt it, but all right, we'll start it. See what happens. Again, hopefully, well, I definitely know that Chris Jenkins of the San Diego Union-Tribune will be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour, and hoping that head coach Bill Belichick either calls in or stops on by for a few minutes here today as well. He says, hey, guys, did you know that football might be hazardous to your health? No way! Seriously, we have players running at full tilt into each other that run a 4-3 and weigh a minimum 2. Okay, we know all that. Blah, blah, blah. This is what happens when bosses realize blah, yada, yada, yada. What, you know what, this is really getting, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, my friend, but I'll get, you know what, if we get a lull in the show, I'll read the entire email. It's an interesting email. It's just, it's kind of a soapbox type of thing, but I'll get to it. Email webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Lou says, speaking, talk about where Crable came from and how he got back into the fold. Saw his jersey on the field, but not sure what he did or how he did it. Thanks, Lou. Well, he's a linebacker on the team, all right? Yeah, and he played pretty well on Sunday. He made a couple key plays, especially late in the second half. Made some nice stops. I mean, he's obviously good enough to be on the team right now, good enough to play. He came from his mom, I guess. Again, try the veal. I'll be here all week. Lee says, Lee on Facebook says, have the Patriots dispatched anyone to watch any of the Hartford Colonels UFL games? Ryan Glasper might be worth a practice squad slot when Merriweather is released. Regards, Black Bear Lee. I don't even know who the Hartford Colonels are. The UFL games? What's UFL? Is that the USFL? When do they play?
They play on Saturdays.
They
do? It's a really short season.
What, they have like 4 games?
Yeah, something like that.
How many teams are
maybe
in the league?
Maybe 6 games.
How many teams are in the league?
See if I can find out.
Know nothing about the UFL, and be quite honest with you, I'm sure it's a very nice league. And it's no Arena Football League, I'll tell you that. Craig says on Facebook, United Football League. Craig says, where do you rank the Pats win over the Ravens? From Branch's return to the Pats D, stopping the Ravens O, where do you rank this game? Well,
8.
Not quite sure what do you mean, where do you rank the game? Where do I rank it? Right, well, I rank it right now as the best win of the season. I mean, how can you not? I think it's the best win of the season. Where do I rank it up as far as all-time Patriot wins, even under head coach Bill Belichick in the regular season? Oh, I don't know. I don't even know if it makes the top 10, to be honest with you. Not at week five. You know, not at week five. It's a great win, a win I thought they would get. If you look at Coach's record after the bye week, he's 9-2. He hasn't lost since 2002. But where does it rank as far as, like, it's kind of vague. Maybe you could send back another text about where does it rank? If you're saying where was it ranked this year, then absolutely it is the best win of the year, no question about it. Craig writes back immediately, where does it rank in Pat's history? P.S.
Eight.
P.S. Not the Craig from Rockland. Well, thank God for that. Who needs that? Where does it rank in Pat's history? Okay, now, is he serious? Well, I just got word now, Mike Reese of ESPNBoston.com reporting that Brandon Merriweather, as we told you, will be fined $50,000, but he will not be suspended. I am stunned at that, to be honest with you. Absolutely stunned at that. So, wow, the Patriots dodge a bullet there. Brandon Merriweather fined $50,000 for the two helmet-to-helmet hits, but he will not be suspended. Getting back to Craig's question about where this regular season victory in Game 5 ranks in Patriots history. Come on, Craig. Come on. I don't even put it in the top 10. Think about the three Super Bowls. Think about, you know, I can think of seven playoff games off the top of my head. That's 10 games right there. I can think of, even though the year they didn't make the playoffs in 02, that regular season win against the Dolphins here last second when Dave Wanstead just absolutely pissed that game away. It was beautiful. Been a few other. Denver game on Monday night, you know, the automatic safety the Patriots took. And I think David Givens caught a touchdown pass late in that game on that Monday night. God, there's so many. So many. I mean, if I, you know, of course, I mean, all the Super Bowls, of course, were great. But to this day, people ask me, what was my favorite moment since I've been, you know, on the radio with the Patriots and doing post-game shows and all that stuff? I must tell you, the most fun, I think the best time ever, and the most fun had to be the snowball game against Oakland. That was my favorite moment. I mean, obviously the Super Bowls obviously were unbelievable. I mean, against the Rams was you know, right up there, obviously, as well. I mean, I guess you've got to separate the championships. But I would say the snowball game, that was probably one of my favorite times ever to be on. I was so lucky I got to be on the air, even though it was still 4 o'clock in the morning, but it was still a blast right after that win. That was a lot of fun. And this was a nice regular season win over the Baltimore Ravens, a very good football team the Patriots beat. But where does it rank in Patriots history? I don't know. Somewhere around 18, maybe. I mean, it's regular season game in week 5. I think you'll find that if you go back through history and see some of the great wins this franchise has had, yeah, you know, it was a nice win, great win, but, you know, nothing to write books about, I don't think. 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Guess what? The Pete Shepherd Show, right here on patriots.com. Quick break when we come back. Get to your phone calls, more of your emails, and we're going to talk about Baltimore a little bit more, and then we're going to talk about the San Diego Chargers and that stupid song that they have. And I'll tell you what, those of you who think the Chargers are over and done with, go back and look at their record over the last few years and see where they were at this time. You'll be surprised when you see... No. Just get some hot sauce and dump it on my eyes. I told you. Reminds me of the song of Verb from Multiplication Rock. They ripped it off from that little series. All right, quick break. When we come back, more on the Pete Shepherd Show, Patriots.com.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks. really tall ladders?
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Brady barking signals. Awaiting the shotgun snap, he's got it. To throw, looking left, now looking right. Now goes to the right with it. Open, touchdown! Touchdown to Deion Branch!
Back here on the Pete Shepherd Show, Patriots.com. Join me, 508-543-7482. That's the A-Sticket Hotline. Thanks to Gil right there, the Patriots Radio Network. And one of Brady's touchdown passes, indeed, to Deion Branch. What a nice return he had. 9 catches for 98 yards, and it was just great to see him back on the field. And you can see that he hasn't missed a beat. If he's healthy, this team is going to have just another formidable weapon. They're going to be very. This team is going to be very tough to beat this year, guys. I'm not saying they're not going to lose the rest of the way, but that was such a statement. The way that defense played and the way they came together late in that game, down by 10, they could have packed it in. You know, we all remember what happened last year in that playoff game, which is another reason why. Most people are stupid when they refer to one game that happened in the playoffs last year. And speaking of stupid, you're not stupid. Timmy in Baltimore says, hey, Pete, I noticed that during the DNC interview on WEI, when I told Brady about Suggs' comments, Brady was noticeably annoyed, at least in my opinion. He said the Ravens talk a lot for a team that's only beaten them once in the past year. In the past, Brady has almost never taken the bait like that. Do you think the smack talk from teams like the Jets, Bengals, and Ravens get to Brady? Well, we're going to play exactly what happened.
I tell you, one guy who thinks it will be different next time is Terrell Suggs, your pal Terrell Suggs. I don't know if you heard what he said after the game. He said, quote, Brady sometimes found some spots, made some plays, but like I said, he better hope he doesn't see us again. And he vowed to smash you when you see them, if you see them in the playoffs.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, he had his chance, so maybe if he gets another chance, you know, he can try to back those words up. But he had a chance yesterday, and you know, we played those guys a lot, and they beat us one time in all the times that I played them.
That's
so
true.
They talk a lot for, you know, beating us once in 9 years.
Well,
All right, there it is. And, you know, now the other email part is that do you think that stuff gets that? I mean, usually those guys are taught and told, you know, don't come out and give any fuel for fire because you see what happens when people do it for the Patriots. I mean, you saw what happens. It's happened twice this year so far. Everybody at PFW picked the Dolphins to beat them, and they end up whipping Miami. Everybody, for the most part, nationally, not locally, nationally, picked the Patriots. I mean, some of the comments, I mean, if you really go back and watch some of the shows and rewatch some of these idiots that talk about the game, and it's the reasoning is just ridiculous. Some of it. I don't know where they come from. Some of these are ex-players who have tons of way more experience in the NFL than I ever would. But it, to me, it just still seems personal in a lot of areas when they talk about this team. They just do. And people like, you know, I mean, Michael Irvin, that boob on the NFL Network, I mean, I don't know how he still has a job. Some of his comments, I mean, it's just preposterous. I mean, it's childish, really. Childish stuff that comes out of his mouth. Chris says, hey, Pete, don't worry about the previous email. Yeah, it's too long. It was a good email, but I might get to it at some point. The gist of it is, eye for an eye penalties are the way to go. You knock someone out of a game, you get suspended for a game. You knock someone out for a season, same deal. Of course, if the hit wasn't legal, I guess Mayweather just used all the money Rodney would have put away for fines in one game. Hope he hits just that hard, if not harder, but does it within the confines of the game. And again, in case you missed it, Brandon Mayweather fined $50,000, but will not be suspended. Will not be suspended. And I got to tell you, I am quite frankly shocked that that is the case. Absolutely shocked that he's not being suspended. And it's got to be tough to coach in this day and age in the National Football League between how you can barely breathe on the quarterback without getting a flag and how, you know, how do you stop a guy from being physical? However, I think Brandon Mayweather will be the first to tell you. I mean, he said yesterday, you know, he's not going to change the way he plays and all that stuff, but I guarantee you he will be much more aware of the situation. You just can't launch yourself helmet to helmet. You can't do it. You cannot do it. Gene in Daytona Beach says, hey, Pete, love the show and look forward to it every Tuesday. I thought Danny Woodhead would have a good game. I watched the game he had against the Ravens when he was with the Jets, and he killed them. I'm just glad Bill Belichick used him. The kid might be only 5'5 tall, but his heart must be 6'5. I think Bill Belichick pulling Mayweather out of the game is probably the NFL. Is probably why the NFL didn't suspend him. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate it. Well, I'm not sure that's the reason why. Because he did pull him out of the game, but he was also back in there late in the game. So I don't think that's the reason. I don't think the NFL looks to Bill Belichick and see when he pulls in players and when they play as to when, how they're going to be suspended. But I'm just quite frankly stunned. I mean, the Patriots dodge a big bullet here. And, you know, they're going to need Mayweather with his physical presence against the San Diego Charger team coming up this week. In San Diego. Chargers are desperate. Seen them desperate before, though. Lou says, Pete, did Sean Crable come out of the doghouse? I thought he had been released, yet I saw him on the field this week. I don't think he was ever. Jace, we looked that up about Crable. I don't know if he was ever released. He might have been on the. I'm not sure what the whole situation was with him. We'll look it up. We'll find out. He had a hell of a game. One of those guys had a hell of a game. I tell you, Zoltan Mesko, gotta love it. Patriots did change up a little bit on defense, and it seemed to confuse Flacco. And Flacco, you know, can be easily confused. We've seen it. Tried to warn some people last week about it. Anointing this guy is like Johnny Unitas out there for some reason. Some people. The Patriots are going to be at San Diego 4:15 on Sunday, and that is going to be one hell of a game as well. We'll get to that still, but I want people's reaction to this defense and how, if you feel like I do, and I'm not saying this was a statement game, you know, like Patriots are all of a sudden going to be the Bears of 85. I'm not saying that at all. But it was pretty impressive what they did in the fourth quarter and overtime when it really counted. Because once again, in the first half, I mean, this team is unbelievable stopping teams from 3rd-and-1 to 3rd-and-5, but you get to 3rd-and-9 to 3rd-and-29, and it seems like they give up first downs every single time, and they were one of the league leaders in third-down conversions, giving up third-down conversions on defense going into that game, 3rd-and-long. However, they really stepped it up in the second half. I mean, especially the fourth quarter and overtime. Baltimore couldn't do anything. They tried everything and couldn't do anything. And I think that's going to go a long way to where this defense is going to be. I mean, you can see how they're getting better. You can see how they're starting to get some kind of a semblance of a pass rush a little bit. I mean, again, they're not talking about a bunch of sacks here, in the, you know, but they are getting some pressure on Flacco. Crable got some pressure on Flacco late in the game. Caused him to make that bad throw. I think it was 3rd-and-8 in one of the overtime possessions they had.
What was your question about Sean Crable?
I said, was he ever, quote-unquote, in the doghouse or released? He wasn't. Was he released? He was released and they re-signed him?
I think that's what it was.
He
was on the active roster.
He was on the active roster. I think it was one of those things where they released him and he comes back. I don't even know if he was on the active roster for game one. He might have been. I'll have to check that out. But he's on the team. If he was released, it was probably for salary cap reasons in the beginning of the season, like a lot of teams do. What they do is they'll cut you and sell you. We have to do it now, but you're going to be back after week one, so they don't have to pay a certain amount. Patriots.com. It's the Pete Shepherd Show, 508-543-7482. That is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. You can also email me right here, webradio at patriots.com. Chris Jenkins from the San Diego Union Tribune will join us. And let me tell you something about the Chargers coming up. That team is banged up. That's the one difference, though. That's the one difference that may go against the trend, because this team has been 1-3, 2-4 before and reeled off 11, 12 straight wins. But the Malcolm Floyd, at least according to what I read today in the San Diego papers, is likely out of the game. You know, and he's been in there basically replacing Vincent Jackson, done a pretty good job, but he suffered a hamstring injury in that pathetic loss. I thought the Rams would win. See, the problem with making picks on a Tuesday is I didn't think Bradford was going to play, but he ended up playing, which is why I thought the Chargers would win 66-0. I really thought they were going to destroy them, but lo and behold, that was not the case. We'll get to my picks later on. The rest of the season is free. I did not go 10-5. I came close, though, 6-6-2. Should have had 4 more wins. I got screwed at the end 4 different times. Stupid Jets. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that at the end of the show. That's not exactly. Totally whining. I totally admit it. Completely. I blame the officials again. But getting back to the Chargers, though. So Malcolm Floyd banged up. Hamstring strain midway through the Chargers' 2017 loss at St. Louis. He's likely out. Nate Kading. Tweaked his groin. Ow! Ooh! Right before Sunday's game. Doesn't look like he's going to be able to kick. That's a problem.
Oh, God! I skinned my pecker!
However, Legato Nene is likely to return. He missed the St. Louis game. He could play this week. At receiver. And Antonio Gates, the good news for the Chargers is, at least right now on a Tuesday, is his left toe injury apparently is just a sprain and not related to his previous foot problems. So it looks like, at least right now on Tuesday, again, they haven't practiced yet. All I can go by is what the information I have is today, is that he'll probably play. But Malcolm Floyd not playing is a huge loss for them. They don't have a kicker. And they just, you know, you still have North Turner as head coach. You don't have LaDainian Tomlinson anymore. Merriman, gone. That team might just be lacking a pulse. Now, Phillip Rivers, on the other hand, is still having a hell of a year. 334.6 yards passing per game. Now, some of those numbers, again, this is where people go crazy nationally. They see those numbers. They don't take into account that the Chargers have been playing from behind for a lot of these games. And San Diego's special teams, particularly the punting unit, suck. I mean, they are the antithesis of what the Patriots special teams are. And that is a bad special teams unit. Bad Chargers. Bad special teams unit. Yeah, except special teams coach Steve Crosby. You talk about, what's his name, Miami being on the hot seat. Forget his name, who got fired. But Crosby is definitely on the hot seat. Their punting team stinks. Probably the reason why they lost three of the four games that they lost. Terrible. Not just getting punts blocked, but giving up touchdowns on the punt returns. So the Chargers can find a way to put a halt to that. This will probably be, I mean, I think it's going to probably be a competitive game anyway. But if the Chargers special teams plays like they have been, they're going to get killed in this game. I'll tell you that right now. Patriots will destroy them in this game. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see if Gates is a bit banged up and no Malcolm Floyd, who exactly Philip Rivers is going to throw to. Now, they have an interesting running attack now. They got Ryan Matthews, a rookie, and they've been using Tolbert, a fullback, a lot as a feature back. Again, not LaDainian Tomlinson. This team just doesn't seem to be the team that they were. They had a lot of really good players on that team when they reeled off those 10, 11, 12 straight wins over the years when they've fallen into a little bit of a hole at 1-3 and 2-4 in the past. I'm not sure they can climb out of it with the talent they have on this year's team, and particularly this week, if they're as banged up right now, and if they're this banged up on Sunday, it could be a major problem for them. Major problem for them. And if Nene can't play this week, he missed a St. Louis game, then that's, you know, that could be another problem for them. Then you got, you know, Buster Davis and Richard Goodman, Patrick Creighton, you know, not exactly household names. Defensively, they still got, you know, pretty good D. Now, they've had pretty good, you know, Quentin Jammer's a good corner. Kaysen's a good corner. But they haven't really faced a decent passing team yet. I mean, they have decent numbers, but, you know, the Chargers secondary, they, you know, they played Seattle, Oakland, Arizona, Matt Castle in Kansas City. I mean, not exactly the cream of the crop right there. So I think Brady can put up some points against his secondary. No, there's any question about it. And hopefully the defense can build on what they did against the Ravens in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter in overtime. And come away with another victory on the road. Another tough victory on the road. So they can do it in Miami. They proved all those critics wrong. They can't win on the road. So they did that against a good team. And now they have to face another good team on the road. Jay says, I have two questions. The first, one is, this is on Facebook. One is, would the Pats win this game versus the Ravens with Moss, or do you think we would have lost with Moss? Well, interesting question. I probably think if the defense played like they did in the fourth quarter, I think they would have won. Like I said, even the games that Randy Moss did not produce for this team, he had one catch in two games, whatever it was, that doesn't mean he wasn't doing his job or taking plays off. I'm not saying that about the guy. He still drew a lot of attention by a lot of good cornerbacks that a lot of other people get open. Saw Wes Welker get double teamed a few times during the game. Again, that allowed some other people to get open. You know, Hernandez had another couple of big plays. I know he had two big. Maybe brought him back down to earth a little bit. A couple of rookie mistakes. Dropped some crucial passes late in the game. But also made a couple of nice plays, as he usually does. Gronkowski again as well. So, yes, I do think they would have won with Moss on the team still. My second question is your thoughts on the thoughts of a JT the Brick and Tom Looney dissing the Pats, saying they are done because we traded Moss to Minnesota. But these are the people, Jay, I'm talking about. It's the JT the Bricks of the world who, you know, they I guarantee you did not watch the Patriots game start to finish. He's a freaking Oakland Raiders fan. He's defending them to the T with that corpse of a GM, Al Davis, for the last, you know, 10 years. So, guys like JT the Brick, I mean, and I know JT, he's a nice guy. He's actually a nice guy. He's a good you-know-what, good bleep. But I don't put a lot of, I don't take what these national people say seriously anymore because they're pathetic for the most part. If you go back and listen to most of them, they are pathetic. I like NFL Countdown on ESPN on Sunday. For the most part, I like Boomer and Tom and all the guys together. They have good chemistry. But if you want to talk about guys who know foot, who really know the game, the three on the NFL Network, I'm losing a lot of respect for a lot of the people. The Michael Irvins of the world, those people are. They have some good. I mean, Vic Carucci's fantastic. I love Vic. Nobody better than Vic. But the guys on ESPN, you know, Adam Schefter, I have total amount of respect for. I think he's terrific. Ron Jaworski, terrific. I love Gruden on the Monday night games. I think he does a great job. I think he's very objective. But they have a lot of people over there that I have no – I mean, Chris Carter, shut up. I mean, I heard him this week on with Dale and Holly, or the last week, and he just is, you know, he's just a freaking baby, just a big baby. And he's another one of those Michael Irvin types who talks out of his ass about – there's stupid things like about how the Patriots can't win with Bill Belichick as coach without Randy Moss, because even Randy Moss's, you know, bodyguard all those years at Minnesota, the first few years anyway. So I don't take people like Chris Carter seriously. I don't take people like Michael Irvin seriously. I take people like Boomer Esiason seriously. Ron Jaworski seriously. You know, Gruden I take seriously.
Jaws,
exactly. You know, I like Keyshawn Johnson for the most part. For the most part, I like Tom Jackson for the most part. And I like the chemistry on that on some of those shows. But some of these guys have just made it so personal.
You like Tom Jackson?
I like most of the stuff he says. And now I understand what I didn't like what he said way back when Lawyer Malloy, when they hate their coach and that stuff.
What kind of locker room do they have?
Well, he's an idiot. I know.
They hate their coach.
Yeah. And he, you know, he's still eating crow to this day because of that. But for the most part, when he's not talking about the Patriots, you know, he's pretty objective. It's just something about, and all this is about, and it's been this way for a long time, and I can't believe I'm on this diatribe, but it's my show. I can do whatever I want. And the reason is this. It's all about because Bill Belichick doesn't give sexy answers to the media. And I'm telling you people, that's it. It's this stupid, ridiculous little vendetta that people have because he doesn't give sex. He's not Rex Ryan. He's not colorful. He's not creative. But instead of just looking at the game for what it is, you know, they want to base it on some vengeance factor, some vendetta because Bill Belichick doesn't give them the answer that they want. I'm telling you, it happens.
What do you want me to tell you?
Exactly. You don't have to tell me anything.
It is what it is.
I hope you stop by or call in today, but, I mean, you don't have to tell me anything, you know? I've seen
enough. What are you looking for?
I've seen enough of what the man can do in his tenure here that I'd say, you know, I think like 98% of the things he's done has been pretty good, don't you? You can make your case. You can make your case for a situation here or a situation there. This team has won a hell of a lot of games, probably could have won two more Super Bowls. But not for a couple of fluky plays. All right? You look at what the guy does after bye weeks. You look at what the guy does, you know, how this team has not had back-to-back losses very often during his tenure here. They have an incredible home record in this field, despite some criticism over the years about fan support. And by the way, Sunday was not one of those days. Absolutely tremendous job by the fans. I mean, how could you leave that game anyway? But absolutely tremendous job by the fans. Steve says, hey, Pete, love the show. I listen every week. Did you hear Shaughnessy on his 98.5 show this Saturday? He said the Patriots and the fans are arrogant because they think they can trade away great players like Moss and still be good. They think they're smarter than everyone else. What do you think of this? Again, Steve, guys like Shaughnessy, I don't care. I use his freaking articles for, you know, my dogs to poop on. Why would I take him seriously talking about this football team? He makes a ridiculous, stupid statement like that on the radio. All I know, here's what I know, Shaughnessy. The Patriots are smarter than you. That's what I know. They're smarter than you. Just like when you call the Red Sox frauds in 2004. Guess what? You're lucky Malagin and belched you on the field that night when you were there. Everybody saw that 30-30 documentary on ESPN, which was very good, by the way. You know? And Shaughnessy's sitting there like Bozo the Clown. You're better than this. You're better than this. You're better than this. Milosh should have freaking got a bucket of spit and dumped it on your head. Yeah, Shaughnessy, the Patriots are smarter than you and a lot of the other people in the national media who go off and they don't understand that when you have 2 weeks to prepare for a team, and the fact that Deion Branch came here, and the fact that they have all these other weapons, and the fact that you probably didn't know anything about Woodhead at all, like I and some others did before the season started, little things like how good Gronkowski was in college, about Hernandez, about the type of guys he drafted. All you guys, people like Shaughnessy are strictly headline people. They are not meat and potato football guys. They see a freaking headline and they run with it. They see one little blurb in a story and that becomes a story. Instead of getting to the heart of the matter and looking at it through all angles, look through the looking glass the other way sometimes. See it from all different angles. Instead of a selfish reason, a personal reason, because the coach doesn't give you the sexy answer that you want, and maybe someday you won't make boneheaded, stupid, idiotic statement like that on the radio and then have to eat more crow like you have been for the last decade covering this football team. It's a Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com, and we're back with the second hour right after this.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
And finally, the Patriots at home against the Baltimore Ravens. Here at Gillette, Patriots laying 3. What a battle it's going to be.
And my prediction is this. What a football game this is going to be as it comes down to the wire. They are tied at 23. And then the man, Steven Gostkowski, crushes
a 43-yard field goal between the uprights as time expires, and your New England Patriots win the game.
35-yard field goal attempt coming from Stephen Gostkowski to try to win it. We're set to go. Waiting for the snap. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick on the way. Kick is good.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepard.
Yeah, baby. It's moi. Another hour with you here on Patriots.com. Jason's on the other side of the glass. No, not that Jason. This Jason. Hey, by the way, Tobias on Facebook says about Crable. He was released prior to training camp and then signed to the practice squad before week one. That's what I thought. And then he was then signed to the active roster week three. Yeah, that's what I thought. And they do that for salary cap reasons. A lot of players in the NFL, that's what happens. So they don't have to pay him as much. So thank you, Tobias, for filling us in. Facebook's open. Pete Shepard, that's PETSHEPPARD. Or you can email me, webradio@patriots.com, or give me a call, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Yeah, Chris Jenkins of the San Diego Union-Tribune will join us in a little bit. I'm hoping the head coach will join us, too, for a few minutes here before at some point. We're here until 6. Like to hear from you guys. In case you missed it, Brandon Merriweather fined $50,000. But guess what? Somehow escapes a suspension. Wow. I am absolutely, I got to tell you, I am floored by it. You know, you saw what Dunter Robinson did to Deshaun Jackson in the Eagle game, Atlanta game.
He was also fined $50,000.
He was fined $50,000 as well. No suspension, though, that you know of?
Not that I've seen.
How about James Harrison? Knocked out two Brown players with head injuries. Josh Cribbs. And then Muhammad Massaquoi. So see if James Harrison got, he must have got whacked too. Those are three pretty big incidents, not to mention what happened to the young man at Rutgers, which was just awful. That was that was more of a fluky thing, a special teams type player. That was just terrible. Thoughts and prayers are out to him and his family. That was awful. But I am stunned that Merriweather didn't get a game here. Now, let me know, Jason, about James Harrison as soon as you find it.
Harrison was fined $75,000. Dunter Robinson was $50,000. So $175,000 so far for the three players.
And nobody got suspended?
Nope.
Aren't you stunned by that? I am blown away by that. So what does it take? Well, I mean, you know,
stunned.
What does it take to get suspended? And believe me, I'm glad Brandon Merriweather didn't get suspended because they're going to need him this week. But my goodness. Mr. Goodell, I have a question for you, my friend. I think he's in town tomorrow night, too. He's in town tomorrow night to accept some award, believe it or not. But that is just unbelievable to me. Absolutely unbelievable. Brooklyn Matt says, "What's up, biatch? This Pete Shepard guy freaking kills me. He's rifling pretty hard today. A bucket of spit, huh? He fit right in down here." Now give me a cheap trick intro segue for old time's sake. Pete's a freaking piece of work. P.S. You're way more better than Kevin. What does that mean?
Brooklyn Matt's a regular emailer. He's his thing was he would always like it when I would come back with hang on here.
Well, if you're going to do Cheap Trick, baby, then don't. If you're going to do it, do Surrender. No. You've got to do Surrender. You've got to find Surrender. Surrender is the ultimate Cheap Trick song. Unbelievable.
But Brooklyn Matt's a good emailer. He gets into it with everybody. And
that's good.
I think you're striking home with him.
That's good. I like Brooklyn. I had a good friend just moved there as well. My friend Little Lou, which I'm sure Brooklyn Matt will take care of. Is Brooklyn Matt a Jets fan?
Patriots fan.
Oh, nice. Nice. I like him already. I like him already. Again, you can check me out at Facebook.com. You have a question, that's easier. Of course, email your webradio@patriots.com. I'd like to hear from you as well. 508-543-7482. My picks coming up. Can't tell you how many people love that segment so far. I try to make it entertaining. Again, if I go 500, it's good. Try to go one or two games over 500. I really got screwed in ties last week, but that's okay. It's all in good fun. It's all in good fun. And we will talk with San Diego Union Tribune columnist Chris Jenkins coming up in just a little bit as well here on the Pete Shepard Show as we're here until 6 o'clock. So the Chargers are a bit banged up. The Patriots are on fire defensively. Doing pretty well offensively, too. Phillip Rivers throwing for 336 yards a game. But, again, they're in some trouble here. Chargers are in trouble. They're 2-4. And as I said, in the past, that normally wouldn't bother me. But there's two reasons why they bother me now. This is not the same Charger team of the last couple of years, talent-wise, number one. Number two, and I say that because, number two, they are banged up this week. If this was a couple weeks later and some of these guys were playing, I'd feel different about it. But as of right now on a Tuesday, it doesn't look like Malcolm Floyd is going to get to play. Suffered a hamstring injury. Huge. Huge. I am going to come in there and kill you. This is the worst song of all time. The only football song ever worth a damn ever. There's only one. 1978, and we all remember hearing it for the first time, those of you who are old enough. I was only 11, but I remember watching the game with my dad. It was a Monday night game with the great team of Howard Cosell, Dandy Don Meredith, and Frank Gifford. And it was then Houston Oilers and rookie running back Earl Campbell destroying Bob Greasy and the Miami Dolphins single-handedly. And they played the old Houston Oilers. It's a song Miami plays now. They stole it, ripped it off from the old Houston Oilers. And that is the only song in football that's worth a damn. I hate the stupid Redskins song. The Pittsburgh Steelers song is dumb. Hate that one, too.
What about this one?
Oh, the Patriots. The Bears. That's not even a song. That's a wing mid. Please get that off. I'm breaking out in a rash. I don't want to hear freaking Jim McMahon sing. And that's just pathetic. But even worse than that was that horrible song the Patriots came up with, whatever group that was back in 1985. New England, the Patriots and me. Remember Ray Flynn? We'll beat the Bears. Just wait and see. I mean, that was like, I mean, where are you people from? That was like Hickville, Idaho type song when they did that. It was terrible. The only song in football ever worth a damn was the old Houston Oilers song. And it started around 78 when Earl Campbell was on the team. And right around that awesome Monday night win they had against the Dolphins, he rushed for 199 yards and like three touchdowns. He had a ripped shirt at the end. It was unbelievable. Is this it?
Houston has the Oilers, the greatest football.
Oh, he's freaking me out.
We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
We're in the air, we're on the ground, always in control.
Always.
And when you say the Oilers, you're talking to us.
Take it home.
Because we're the Houston Oilers.
Oh, yeah.
Houston Oilers.
Yeah.
Houston Oilers number one.
Everybody.
Yes, we're the Houston Oilers.
That's it. Oh, that brings back memories. But I'll tell you, that was a fun team to watch back then. That was a fun team to watch. Earl Campbell and Renfro and what's his name, a quarterback. Oh, my God. How am I not remembering this? Oh, my God. I'm having a brain fart. But I played a playoff game once against the Steelers with a busted arm and a busted leg. What's his name? Italian guy. How can I not remember this? I'm having a brain fart. Oh! My goodness. But the Houston Oilers used to be a fun team to watch. Probably could have won a couple Super Bowls had it not been for the Steelers and those great teams in 78-79. But I digress. Getting back to the Patriots and the Chargers. This is going to be a very interesting game. I do think the Chargers are in a little trouble here. And please Here's what will happen. I promise you, this is what national people do, and people like nitwits like Shaughnessy who don't understand football. They'll jump all over guys like Philip Rivers this week because they won't understand what happened in the game. Shaughnessy will have no idea how bad San Diego special teams are and realize how far behind they've played the whole year. And when he sees 336 yards being passed, he'll say, oh, well, you know, if he can pass 336 yards, the Patriots will get, destroyed. And he won't be the only one who will think that. Here's what you get this week. The Chargers will be desperate, which they are. The Patriots going to the West Coast, that's going to be a factor. That's what's going to happen to some of the people around here. And they could very well end up eating a lot of crow once again. Well, joining me on the Patriots, my Patriots.com show. It is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline joining us. Chris Jenkins, San Diego Union Tribune columnist. Good afternoon, Chris. How you doing?
Doing fine. Raining like crazy out here, Pete.
Well, you know, we had, oh boy, we had, it's not too bad. A crisp fall day here, it's which you don't know anything about out there. San Diego's such a beautiful area. Yeah, it's a nice, balmy, about, well, actually got to 60 today, but it's going to be, it's been around in the low 50s for the most part, and fall is definitely here. The foliage is in full bloom, and
we have no leaves here. We have palms.
Of course. Please, stop it. Stop it. By the way, Jim Croce's in the Gaslamp District, one of my favorite restaurants of all time.
Not a bad choice.
Anyway, let's talk about this game coming up between the Patriots and the San Diego Chargers. First off, right off the bat, I was reading in your paper today, Malcolm Floyd doesn't look like he's going to play. Kading's banged up. Gates, probably the best news out of everybody. And Nene may come back this week. Let's start with Malcolm Floyd. Is he in or is he out? Hamstring hurting him?
Looks out. They've been going through. This has been like, I won't say it's been the story of this year because their play has been the story of this year, how bad it's been. But they have, you can go down the line, and other than, center Nick Hardwick, Philip Rivers, and Chris Steelman, just about everybody on this team has been dinged up, sidelined, one way or the other. Malcolm is the latest. The amazing thing is how they keep finding other guys to catch the ball, which might be more of a tribute to Philip than anything, but they've got Patrick Creighton stepped in in St. Louis, had seven catches. But they can't keep losing guys. Malcolm was supposed to be the guy and was the guy to replace Vincent Jackson with his size. All the kinds of throws that Philip likes to make, when he had Vincent and Malcolm and Legadu, he could throw the ball where a defensive back couldn't possibly get it because the DB couldn't go up in the air or go wide with the size of Vincent and Malcolm. Malcolm is an incredible leaper, an incredible leaper. He's did a story. He touched a spot, a light, 70 inches off the ground.
Oh boy!
With his wingspan.
Is he Spider-Man?
And if you watch Philip, the way he throws the ball, if he misses, he usually misses high or wide because he knows his receivers. Well, now you subtracted Vincent. Now you subtracted Malcolm. Patrick is not that big. He's a terrific receiver, but Phillips had to adjust. In fact, there was one thing Phillip was kicking himself over was not the interception, the fact that the ball got picked off in the end zone last week, but the fact that he threw it where Malcolm couldn't do what Malcolm does.
Mm-hmm.
That was his primary criticism. So yeah, the loss of Malcolm isn't just a matter of losing a guy who can make a lot of catches, run nice routes, and all that. It really affects how the quarterback throws the ball.
And what about Legadu Nene? I mean, he missed the St. Louis game. If he's not able to go this week, I mean, that could be completely disastrous right there.
Legadu was out all last week. We'll see tomorrow just exactly what his availability is. As you know, in the NFL, you don't get a lot of information.
Exactly.
You get a lot of looks, and a lot of people saying, "I can't talk about that."
That's right.
Legadu's in that state right now, but he was missing all last week. I would seriously doubt he'd be at 100% or even 80% if he can make it onto the field. So no, there's a whole lot of adjustment that has to be made here.
And the other guy I want to talk about, well, two other guys, is Antonio Gates, and he left because of the toe injury, but I guess not related to his other just a sprain, not related to his other previous foot problems. And, of course, he gives a lot of teams fits. He's given the Patriots fits, win, lose, or draw over the years as well. Obviously, he's one of the best, if not the best, in the game. But if he's only at 75%, that's good news for the Patriots. But even at 75%.
Yeah, but you know what? The fact is, Antonio has had some terrific games at about 75%.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That doesn't mean his 75% is most people's 110%.
He is so superior at what he does. You know, it's funny when you think about all the contract issues that we've had out here with Marcus McNeil and Vincent Jackson and Sean Merriman. The one guy that they wanted to lock down was Antonio Gates, and that got done. Frankly, I thought Antonio was on his way to an MVP type season, depending on the success of the team. But teams don't know what to do with him, and that is also where. When you subtract Malcolm, when you subtract Legadu, that allows teams to focus a lot more on Antonio. But with a full complement of receivers, teams simply cannot stop Antonio. It is astonishing how open this guy is for passes. I mean, he's got the rep. They've got all week to study him, to prepare for him. But and again, even at 75%, this is the same way. Teams leave him or find him open for passes. It's just incredible.
And what could be a very big factor this week for the Chargers is who in the hell is going to kick for them if Kading is out. And you know, I know Cypress, you know, had a couple of nice kicks in college, I think at Illinois, but I don't think he's the answer. What are they going to do for a kicker this week?
Well, you know, an interesting name I just heard, and this is not a suggestion that it will be him, but John Kearney's available.
Oh.
And John Kearney, of course, he's 64 years old.
Yeah, but
but you know, beggars can't be choosers. And the question is, what kind of terms Kearney was on with the Chargers when he left and extended his career another 7-8 years after he left. It's a huge issue. The actual issue of Nate Kading has been a strugglesome one this year. Even you know, Nate's got the all-time active leader in kick percentage, and when he kicks field goals here, it's like there's a sigh of relief and some silence because people are so bitter about what's happened to him in the postseason. In non-answer to your question, I don't know who they're going to bring in here to kick. Kearney's the most interesting name out there that I've heard.
But you don't think the punter, Mike Cyphers, even though he did kick field goals in college a little bit, will not be the answer? Probably not.
I don't think so. You know, another factor involved here is, I don't know how aware you are of what they've been going through with their long snapper.
Oh, I haven't. I was going to get to special teams in a second, but go ahead.
Which on other teams, big deal, long snapper. Mm-hmm. You know, what? Who cares? Well, they have David Benn, and you know, I don't know how familiar everybody is outside of San Diego. David Benn is a freak. He has been their long snapper for 17 years. He started 179 games. In his 179th game, which set the team record, he injured himself covering a kick. In the first 4 weeks after that, they went through four long snappers. They brought in four different guys. The first two went on the disabled list. The third that they brought in was just plain cut. Now they're working on their fifth one, and he might make it to this week.
Well, this one I want to talk about. One thing that's great about if you have on-demand anybody on any cable system is that you can go back and watch those little 15, 20-minute snippets of the games every week, which is why I've done it for the Chargers' last four games. But a couple questions. How does Steve Crosby, the special teams coach, still have a job? And their punting team is just, I mean, I think they've cost them at least two games, maybe three.
Well, I think, like a lot of people around here, I won't say he's living on his reputation, but he's living on past successes. Special teams has always been, sorry for the pun, but a very special part of the Chargers. You know, even when the defense wasn't that good, when the offense was trying to figure itself out, special teams were sharp. They had Kasim Osgood, maybe the best cover man in the history of the NFL. I mean, a Pro Bowler. He got away to sign with Jacksonville, and they've been plugging other guys in. They have not found a gunner anywhere near as good as him. And again, it sounds a little goofy to be pinning so much on a guy who runs down kickoffs. But out here, Kasim was the man. I mean, it's like a Lorenzo Neal. When you get a Lorenzo Neal, you may most people may not quite appreciate Lorenzo, but when you get one, you know you got something special.
Absolutely.
And they have not replaced Kasim. Haven't come close. They have watching their kick coverage. First, it started off
with brutal.
It started off with punts and with kicks.
Yep.
And then it went. They plugged that hole in the dike with one finger, and the punt coverage went all to hell. And it's just been astonishing to watch. I mean, you know, and we were in Kansas City and just watching run back after run back. But, you know, Leon Washington, you know, revitalized his career against the Chargers with 101 and 99 yard kickoff returns. We're just not accustomed to seeing that kind of thing around here. And frankly, even when the offense and the defense were playing well, the Chargers a couple weeks ago had the number one ranked offense, the number two ranked defense, and they were 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, 2-3.
Yeah.
And it was all special teams. In answer to your question, it's like Steve Crosby said, and he's got the backing norm. He says, I don't have Alzheimer's, and I know because I went and got tested. So I haven't forgotten how to coach. There's the onus is very much on the players here now, although more and more Norv and even general manager A.J. Smith, the heat is on.
No question. And we've seen, I was saying earlier, the Chargers special teams would be the antithesis of the Patriots. The Patriots special teams this year, as you saw, particularly on Monday night, but even it's gone past that, has really been, I think, the overall surprise of the football team this year. I mean, they have just done a tremendous job in all facets of the game, not just on returns, but not just block. I mean, all return kicks. Tate's been unbelievable blocking kicks and just getting it done. They've been pretty special this year.
It's a different world when you have sharp special teams. It really does influence the way a game goes, and nobody knows that more than out here. But between the combination of Kading, who almost never missed in the regular season, Mike Seifers, if not for the fact that Shane Leckler was in the same division,
yeah.
Mike Seifers would have been a Pro Bowl kicker every year. I wrote the other night that it looked like after he kicked a 64-yarder the other night, the guy returned 42 yards. It looked like after that he was just trying to kick every ball across the Mississippi River as far as he could. If he could kick 125-yard punt, he'd do it just to keep it out of the hands of the other team because the coverage has been so deficient here.
Well, I mean, in the past, I tried to warn all the New England fans around here on the show. They shouldn't have to be reminded that in the past, early on, the Chargers have struggled, and we've seen that they've gone to win 10, 11, 12 games in a row. However, I'm not sure with the way this team, without little Danny Tomlinson, and I know his stats went down the last 3 years, and the way the team is banged up this week or could possibly being banged up this week, I'm not sure the streak is going to start this week. But I think it's going to be a very interesting game, though, a very interesting game.
Except I think that was the beauty of last week's game in St. Louis because, obviously, the fans here, we in the media harp on it, and I think even the players in the back of their head are thinking, big deal, so we're one and two, or okay, we're 2-3, big deal. That happens every year. Well, now they're 2-4. Now we've gone past what this is the worst start they've been off to under Norv Turner. Now that whole retrospective, that whole way of writing off what was going on is gone. This is a bad team, or this is a decent team playing badly. And it's finally gotten people to stop looking at the last 3 years. There won't be any 11-game win streaks this year. There won't be any 10-game win streaks this year. Things are different, and the key point is this year. Fortunately for them, they're in the AFC West, which, so what? It doesn't seem to matter. It's going to be a dogfight to the finish. It's going to be an ugly dogfight, but that's the best thing is what happened. And I'm not sure what I find interesting about this New England game is that now the Chargers are in the same situation that the opponents were in when the Chargers went in to Seattle, when they went into Kansas City, when they went into Oakland, when they went into St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, oh, here comes a really great team, the Chargers, and and the everybody was expecting the Chargers to roll over them, and they got beat. So now the Chargers need to take tips from the teams that they've beaten on how to pull off an upset, because they can't possibly be favored this week.
Well, they are favored by three, believe it or not. And but see, on this show last week, I wasn't sure Bradford was going to play for St. Louis last week, because I do the picks on. I only have a 1 day a week show so far, and I do my picks on Tuesday, and I wasn't sure Bradford was going to play, so I picked the Chargers 66-0. I was quite frankly, of course, I over exaggerate, but I was quite frankly stunned that they went into St. Louis. And I know Bradford's been playing well, and St. Louis is home, but it's still the Rams, and I was just, out of all the games so far, that one shocked me the most.
Well, except after Sam Bradford got them the lead, and he played very, very well.
He really did
play well. You saw it. I mean, he showed some amazing poise. He actually showed some great accuracy. The question is how well the defense was playing against him. But after that, it became the Steven Jackson show. And the Chargers, knowing that Jackson was going to get the ball, couldn't stop him when they had to. Now, believe me, Steven Jackson knows how to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been victimized defensively, as great as their defensive rankings have been this year, late in games. And I'm not convinced it isn't because they're taking a lot of defensive players off the defense and putting them on special teams, not off defense, but borrowing from the defense for special teams. And I'm not sure that these guys aren't getting gassed in the late part of games because of all their special teams work, because there have been three games this year where they were called upon. They could still win game if they'd shut down the other team. And having played very well in the first two or three quarters, they couldn't put it together in the fourth and wound up losing.
Well, before I let you go, how do you see this game shaping up this week? And I think it's going to be a very nip-and-tuck game for a while. I think the Patriots kind of found themselves a little bit on defense. You saw in the fourth quarter with Flacco and overtime going 1-for-7 in his third down conversions at the end. I think that was a pretty nice win by the Patriots on Sunday, since most of the idiot national people had the Baltimore Ravens already winning the Super Bowl and maybe three others in a row. But I think this is going to be a really interesting game, possibly another nip-and-tuck game. But without, you know, if Malcolm Floyd isn't playing, and Gates is going to be Gates. He's going to have a phenomenal game. I don't even have to worry about him. But how do you see this game shaping up? Who wins it?
Pete, I tell you what, having sat there and watched this team week after week after week, I don't know. That's an honest answer. Mm-hmm. I don't know which team is going to show up, because the team that we've seen at home, and I know there's been a big difference between the Patriots home and away too,
mm-hmm.
but this team on the road doesn't resemble the team that plays at home at all. They have gotten home. They've only played two home games, but they have looked totally dominant against a couple, you know, less than, than impressive teams. But so again, I don't know. I honestly don't know if they had pulled out maybe one or two of those road games. I would think this would be an incredibly close game. From what I've seen, I don't see it that way. I think the Patriots are superior in every way, and I just think that the Chargers are so far down, beaten down, health-wise, they're a mess. They've played 12 linebackers this year on defense.
Wow.
12 different linebackers, including Sean Merriman, who's no longer around.
Yeah.
But
is that a good thing?
Is it a good thing? Yes. Yes, because, Sean was not the player he was, 3 years ago. And certainly New England's familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
But and the other thing is, I think Sean drew so much attention to himself, and he loved it. And teammates loved him. But Sean became a distraction in a way that I'm kind of guessing maybe Randy Moss was there, although Randy's still a much more effective player. It was definitely time for that relationship to end here, because frankly they've been so banged up they couldn't use up a roster spot on a guy who only gave them 10, 15 plays on defense a year. And in those 10 plays he surely wasn't lights out. But again, among his teammates, beloved.
Well, Chris, thanks a lot for taking some time out today on the Pete Shepherd Show. I really appreciate it, and I hope to have you on again soon. I love your stuff, love your work, and And I just get this feeling that it's going to be a closer game than people think. The Patriots pull it out maybe by a touchdown at the end.
I hope so. I'd love to watch a really great football game because I haven't seen too many of them this year.
All right, Chris. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, Pete. Take
care. Talk soon. Thank you. Chris Jenkins, San Diego Union Tribune columnist, covers the Chargers, and he doesn't like San Diego at all this week. You can tell it. And they are definitely banged up. It's going to be a real interesting game coming up. Again, here at Patriots.com on the Pete Shepard Show, join me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio at Patriots.com. When we come back, more of your phone calls. We'll take a couple of emails, too, and then get ready because my pick segment, I said I promise you, you get the rest of the season free if I didn't go 10-5. There are actually only 14 games, so I guess I should have said 9-5. But I didn't. I went 6-6-2. I'll have my picks coming up as well. And, boy, I got some surprises for you guys this week. It's all part of the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Nastowski, a 23-yard field goal attempt to snap the ball down. The kick is up, and the kick is good from Steven Gostkowski. And the Patriots have become the first team, making a 24-yard field goal, the first team to score more than 17 points on the Baltimore Ravens this season.
There it is. Thanks to Gil and Gino on the Patriots Radio Network. Winding down here, the Pete Shepard Show, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Thanks to Chris Jenkins from the San Diego Tribune, Union Tribune, for joining us with the insight. He does not like the Chargers at all in this game, and they are a bit banged up. Again, email me, webradiopatriots.com.
Go yourself, San Diego.
Brandon Merriweather, $50,000 fine, did not get suspended. Did not get suspended. All right, here's one from Mike. Mike the Tailgater, top 10 exciting home games since I got my season tickets in 1994. Number one, 2001, the Tuck Rule Snowball, okay? Number two, 1994 regular season, Bledsoe hits an NFL record comeback win over Minnesota with Kevin Turner. Who could forget that? By the way, Dan Pastorini was a quarterback I was thinking of, thanks to for the Houston Oilers. One of my favorites of all time, Mike Paisan, one of my favorites of all time before he went to New Orleans and became, like, you know, a vegetable out there. But he was pretty good with the Houston Oilers. 1996 AFC Championships, number three versus the Jaguars. You know, that game kind of was, I mean, that was the Otis Smith. Otis, my man, picking up the fumble and running it back in. That was a nip and tuck game there right down the stretch. The Patriots, I think, won 20-6, but that was a close game right there. That was pretty good. 1996 divisional playoff versus the Steelers. Yes, we all remember Bledsoe to Terry Glenn and the bomb and the fog in the back of the end zone. And I have to say, that was the origin of the Pete Shepard, Fred Smirlis belly bop. That was our first belly bop during that game.
Meathead, I play with them.
He wasn't talking to me there, by the way. That was, but that was, and we weren't even working together at the time. 2003, AFC Championship versus the Colts, of course, fantastic. 2003, Divisional Playoffs versus the Titans. Now, that was the coldest I've ever been in my life, ever. That was the night it was like 28 below with the wind. The football was a rock. I don't know how Vinatieri made this 47-yard field goal. Bethel Johnson, remember Bethel Johnson caught a big touchdown pass to open up that game with a bomb from Brady? And that was a very close game. I think it was 16-13 was the final. That was a great game. God, was it cold that night. 1998 regular season versus the Buffalo Bills. Bledsoe with a hurt finger. Yes. Beats Doug Flea with that last-second pass interference in the end zone. Bills so upset they stay in the locker room. Uncontested extra point. Actual two-point conversion. Yes, I do remember that. That was a great play by Bledsoe. Very questionable pass interference call. There were a couple of them down the stretch there. 1997 regular season versus the Jets. Parcells' first game returning to New England. Blocked John Hall field goal in overtime. Helps the Pats win in this back-and-forth game. Yeah, and this was a game the Patriots, Pete Carroll's first year, they're favored by 10.
Crap.
Never came down to that play. The Patriots were lucky to win that game because they were getting beat. And but they did come back and win. They ended up losing that year at the Jets, by the way. 2008 Monday night versus Brett Favre and the Jets.
Favre.
Matt Cassel sends the game into overtime with that marvelous fourth down pass to Moss. Pats lose in overtime. Excuse me. Yes, that was a hard one to swallow. That was the third and 15 that Favre somehow completed. It was third and 21, some ridiculous pass that would have given the Patriots great field position. That was a tough one. And, of course, Patriots didn't get to the playoffs because of that game. And number 10, 2002, last regular season game versus one I talked about earlier, versus Miami. Pats rally late to beat Miami in overtime due to Dave Wansted's decision to throw instead of running the killer clock. I remember that. Pats don't make the playoffs because Brett Favre and the Pack get crushed by the Jets. I do remember that. I was in Aruba, actually. The few times I wasn't around for that game during the post-game show, I was actually in Aruba for that game. I remember. All my friends left, and I stayed at Champions down at and watched. They were the only ones with the NFL ticket at the time, and watched Brett Favre and the Pack get crushed by the Jets. So thank you for that. Thank you for that trip down memory lane. I love it. Here's another one from Dale. Hi, Pete. San Diego may have a tendency to pick up their game after the first quarter of the season, but if Gates doesn't go, they'll have to pull some kind of a surprise on the Pats to win this Sunday. In other words, this would be a bad loss to take for the Pats right now, especially after getting the good on Baltimore. Also, consider whom the Patriots would want to have defend against Gates. You guessed it, Brandon Merriweather. Well, I think Chung will be there too, but I agree. I think this. I just think it'll be close for a while. The Patriots win this game by a touchdown. It could be one of those games where they're up by two touchdowns for most of the game, and then San Diego scores late. And an meaningless score. But I'll get to my picks in a second. I think the Patriots are going to win this game. I think the Chargers are in serious trouble. They are really banged up. But Malcolm Floyd can't go, and you just heard Chris Jenkins from the San Diego Union-Tribune. He agrees. Doesn't think he's going to be able to do it. Nick Hating, I mean, who the hell's going to kick? I mean, you talking about John Carney's going to kick? Good luck. Good luck. Mike Cyphers, kicked a little bit in college. He actually kicked a 45-yard field goal in college. I don't think he, on an emergency basis, but I don't see him getting, he's not going to be there. Gates is going to be Gates. Even with his left toe injury, he's going to be out there. And Legadou Nene, missed the St. Louis game. He could play this week, but that doesn't mean he's going to. And Patriots, for the most part, pretty healthy going into this game for once. Not too bad. Still don't know about Fred Taylor. Be nice to see him on the field, but Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Woodhead are getting the job done. They're doing a fine job so far. You gotta love Woodhead every time he touches the ball. Make something happen. But the Patriots now 4-1. They're at San Diego, who's 2-4. And you know what time it is now, Jason. It's time for one of the most important segments of this or any other show at this time. It's time for Pete Shepard's Picks of the Week. Gather around, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. It's fun for the whole family. Last week, I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender. I lost. I'm gonna whine. Get the cry. I'm gonna whine. This is why I hate the Jets. How the hell could Denver lose that game? How do you lose that game? The perfect scenario. I'm telling you, the Monday night team that goes on the road the following week, particularly when it's across the country like that, or, you know, almost across the entire country, should lose. They don't lose. Denver pees that game away. Ridiculous. Patriots ended up on a push on my sheet. I have to go by the sheet I'm doing, even though they technically won, ends up being a push because it was a 3-point. They were 2.5 when the game started, but we have to go by what is today. The other tough one I lost was the Browns. The Browns get backdoor covered by the Steelers. I mean, at the end, that should have been a cover, but they lost by 18 instead of, you know, 10 or 11. And the other one I bitch and moan about is the Raiders. You know, that was a 6.5-point spread. And then the worst one was the freaking Cowboys. Why is Phillips not fired yet? I mean, they suck.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, that was just atrocious. Just atrocious. They should have beaten that team. And, of course, I got another push on Indianapolis, -3. They let Washington with the backdoor push. So I was pretty much right on for those games. It wasn't like it all came down like the last couple plays. But a 6-6-2 week. I promised like 10-5, but since there are only 14 games, it'd be 9-5. So I have to give you the rest of the season free. It's all free on me. Okay? So here we go. Game one. This is a beauty. 1:00 Eastern Standard Time in Miami. The Dolphins are home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dolphins are underdogs by 3 points, and I'm taking Miami. I liked them last week against Green Bay, and I like them this week against the Steelers. I will take the Dolphins in that spot. Atlanta, the Falcons, are 3.5-point favorites. They're home against Cincinnati. They have got to be upset about their outing against the Eagles in Philadelphia, even though I picked the Eagles. But I'm going back with Matt Ryan in Atlanta in what should be a blowout this week against Cincinnati. That's what I'm thinking. My next pick, the Kansas City Chiefs, who should have beaten Houston, even though I should have beaten them and didn't. Had a big lead in that game and blew it. And now they're home against Jacksonville team that looked like dog caca last night. They were terrible. Absolutely terrible. Kansas City's 4.5-point favorite at home. I love him in this spot. Jacksonville looks totally out of it. Totally out of it. Next is Tennessee. The Titans playing very well. Destroyed the caca Jacksonville Jaguars last night. Tennessee is home. 3-point favorite against the Eagles. I'm going with Tennessee. How can you not at this point? They're playing great. Gotta love them here. The Bears. I hate the Bears because I hate Cutler. They're 3-point favorites against Washington, and I hate Washington. This is really a battle of teams that I hate. But I'll take the Bears at home after losing to Seattle at home. Can't see them losing back-to-back games in this spot. But with Cutler, anything's possible. He stinks. I'll go with the Bears, reluctantly. New Orleans, big line here again at home against the Cleveland Browns, who are double-digit dogs every week, it seems. But every time New Orleans is a big double-digit favorite, they don't cover. The only reason they covered last week against Tampa Bay is because they weren't a double-digit dog. They were only 5-point favorites, but they're double-digit here. I'm going with the Browns. Too many points. A couple touchdown lead, I'll take it. The Baltimore Ravens, pissed off after losing to the Patriots here in overtime, are home against the Buffalo Bills. They are 13-point favorites, Baltimore is. And they might as well be 23-point favorites or 33-point favorites. Baltimore wins. Buffalo doesn't score. This will be ugly. 34-0 Ravens. Buffalo is terrible. San Francisco on the road to Carolina. They're changing quarterbacks again. They could have Sweet Caroline playing quarterback at Carolina. It wouldn't matter. I like San Francisco here -3, even though they haven't played that well, but they get it done at Carolina. That team's hurting. Tampa Bay is home. 3-point favorite against St. Louis. This is a tough one right here. This is a tough one. But I like Tampa in the spot. Basically a pick game, but I like Tampa in the spot to squeak one out. But Bradford's playing very well for the Rams. That kid's a real deal. so far. Short sampling so far. The Seattle Seahawks are home against Arizona. Seattle beat the Bears this week, as I told you right here on the show last week, right around this time. And they're 5.5-point favorites this week against Arizona. I lay the 5.5. Pete Carroll moving on up. I like the Seahawks in this spot. They get it done. Last week was a dog day afternoon. This week I'm only picking four dogs.
Let's get jacked up for this one, man.
Here's one of them. The Raiders, the 7-point underdogs at Denver. Denver should have beaten the Jets by 2 touchdowns, if not 3. Pissing that game away. The Raiders going to hang in there for a while. Division rivalry here. Like the Raiders in the spot to cover. Not to win, but to cover. And finally, at Green Bay. Not finally, did the Patriots game last. At Green Bay, the Packers, 2.5-point favorites against Minnesota. No way in hell they're going to lose 2 games in a row on the frozen, semi-frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. They will get it done, the Pack will. Favre will be Favre. He will try too hard and throw too many picks in this game. They'll be emotionally spent after that pathetic win against Dallas, that Dallas gave that game away.
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I think I always will be.
Oh, yeah. We'll see how the investigation goes. What will happen? It's being investigated as we speak. We'll see what happens there. But Brett Favre and the Vikings will lose at Green Bay. I love that. That could be one of my 2 locks of the week. That's my super-duper lock of the week. It's Green Bay -2.5. Monday Night Football. The Cowboys are 3-point favorites against the Giants. Now, I know it's kind of a kooky league this year, and you can't count anybody out yet. And I don't know what to make of this game, to be honest with you. Every time you think the Giants are out of it, Tom Coughlin pulls another rabbit out of his butt and saves himself. Now the Giants are playing pretty well. Giants on the road. I got to go with the Giants on the road here. That Cowboy team is discombobulated. They're poorly coached. They have some talent, obviously, but they just look lost. I think the Giants are getting better. Plus, my boy Zach Diassi is out there. Even though I've refused to forgive him for tackling Maroney in the Super Bowl, it cost the Patriots to win. But other than that, he's a good kid. He's a good player. And it'll come down to long snapping, and Zach Diassi gets it done for the Giants. And that's why they're going to beat Dallas. He's also a very good special teams tackler, by the way. And finally, in San Diego. If you haven't been there, if you're going out there, it's beautiful. Gas Lamp District at night, great. Tons of restaurants. A little cool at night, a little gas lamp heat for you. I tell you, try Jim Croce's if you're out there. Very nice choice. If you can sit outside, even better. The Patriots, fresh off a thumping of the Baltimore Ravens at 23-20 in overtime. A thumping.
You sure that's a thumping?
That's a thumping. To what I heard from all these ridiculous prognosticators this week, that's a thumping.
I mean, the defense did stop them 5 straight times when all Baltimore
they
needed
did.
Was a field goal.
Hey, for my reasons on my show, it was a thumping. I take it as a thumping. To me, they won by 30, as far as I'm concerned, because I thought they were going to lose by 30 from what I heard this week. Pete right again. That's what it comes down to when it comes to the Patriots. And I'll be right again this week. I think this game will be close for 1.5. You can replay this next week because this is what's going to happen. I think the Patriots, this one is a never in doubter, okay? I think they come out, take the lead. They have like a 13-0 lead. Then maybe the Chargers score a little garbage touchdown, make it 13-7. It'll look a little closer. Then it's like 20-7 and then 20-10. But the Patriots are well in control of this game. This San Diego team is banged up. And unless the Patriots turn the ball over and like on the 2-yard line on kickoffs or something like that, or do something that they really haven't done all year, except for maybe 1 half of football against the Jets, I just don't see it. This is not the San Diego Chargers of the last few years. It's just not. I agree. My colleague Chris Jenkins agrees with me from the San Diego Union Tribune. He doesn't like the Chargers at all. I don't like them. I am taking the Patriots here. You ready for this? 30. I thought it was going to be just a touchdown game, but I've upped it. 30-17. 30-17. Your New England Patriots.
Go yourself.
yourself, San Diego?
Not exactly. Very nice city. The thing about San Diego is there's no pulse out there. Like, I could never live in San Diego. It's a beautiful city, beautiful climate, beautiful golf courses, all that stuff. But there is a pulse missing from that city. And it ain't coming from the Padres or the Chargers. That's for damn sure. Comment? No. I thought you were ready to say something. Jump in. Are you going to San Diego, Jason?
I am not.
Oh.
I am not. I will be here this weekend. We have the inaugural Colonial Clash.
That's right,
here
UMass
at the
and UNH.
Yes, sir.
How many people are you expecting for that, you think?
Probably around 20,000.
You think? I think it's going to be more.
I hope so. I'd love to see it more, but I think we're projecting between 20
UNH
and 30.
UNH is what, 10th and UMass 13th, I think. You know, and both have had a couple of tough losses. They both could be undefeated easily, both teams, but they and it still, you know, should be a hell of a game. But I like the Patriots. I just think that I think that was a great win for them on Sunday, and I just think this team is now going to start getting better and better and better on defense. And we know what the special teams can do. We know what the quarterback can do. We know what the coach can do. And they are finding their groove. They are finding their groove, the New England Patriots. Starting to get, you know, a quarter of the season now, getting a little better feel. Still not a total feel. Going to need another quarter of the season before I really know if this team is going to be a Super Bowl contender yet or not. And I'm not saying that they aren't. I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying I haven't seen enough yet, as with every other team. Despite what you might hear on during the week on these national shows, when they try to anoint one team every week because they think all of you are stupid and you're not. But people fall into it. They fall into the trap. They hear a couple of announcers say, this team is the sexy pick this week. And I'm sure you're going to hear about the Patriots. They'll be anointed by some as now they're the best team in the AFC. But there's too many that have personal vendettas against the Patriots that won't do that. Normally they would. If there was any other team that beat Baltimore, they'd already be all over the place. But not this week. Some will, but not totally. I like the Patriots, 30-17. We write the score down, 30-17. That is the final score. Because Malcolm Floyd is not going to play. Kading can't kick. He tweaked his groin. We don't know who's going to kick. Let's talk about John freaking Kearney. Gates is a little bit banged up, but like we talked about, him at 75% is still a good day for him. You know, for most people, it's 100%. And Legadu Nene, we're not sure he can play. I mean, I'm just not sure he can play. So the Chargers have some major issues here. They don't have Tomlinson. Merriman's gone, even though most people think they're better than, you know, without him. And I love it. I get a ton of Facebook about Pastorini, I know. Dan Pastorini was one of my favorite players. We have to end the show. Will I get in trouble if I play the Houston Oilers theme song as we head out of the show today?
You and I are on the same wavelength. I got it cued.
Yeah, thank you. It has nothing to do. It's not anti-patriot, obviously, or anything like that. But all these dumb. The Redskins have a stupid song. The Eagles have a dumb song. The Steelers have a dumb song.
Oh my God! How badly did you want to kill all the Eagles fans at Super Bowl 39
please,
when you kept hearing that
please.
Song?
You know what? At Super Bowl 39, because all the, you know, the press area is up, the auxiliary seats are up with the fans and everything. So I had to watch the most women, you know, vomit all over themselves. And I never saw much of this, more of a disgusting, vile crew in my life in Jacksonville. Then the people, the Eagles fans, who, you know, mortgaged their little trailer park homes to come down for the game. And, you know, they outdid Patriot fans by like 3-1. That's because the Patriots, a lot of the fans had been to a couple of Super Bowls before and won. And the Eagles were so, fans were just absolutely, and I got to say, most of the female fans were just beyond disgusting. Disgusting. And I sat there, and they yelled, some of the Eagles fans knew we were some of the media, the Boston media, and they yelled. We didn't say a word the whole game until the very end when I stood up. I just looked over to them and very calmly said, did you people really think, no, get that off. That is just awful. And I just said to them, I said, did you people actually think you're going to win this game? And most of them said, no. That was the best part. I thought I was going to get pelted with stuff, you know, popcorn and whatever else they were doing. And most of them
they had their popcorn ready,
most
huh?
of them said, no, we didn't. We're just having fun. Most of them didn't get home from Jacksonville because they, you know, mortgaged their homes and trailer parks. But it was quite the crowd. All right, that's going to do it for the Pete Shepherd Show. We will join you again next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, same bat time, same bat channel here on Patriots.com. Thanks to Jason for producing this whole thing. You got to love it. And you got to remember, just think back real quick. Flashback to... I remember Howard Cosell saying, America's fastest growing city is Houston, Texas. because of Earl Campbell, and this song became popular the night Earl Campbell rushed for 199 yards, I think, and 3 touchdowns against the Dolphins in 78. Manhandling that jerk Bob Greasy. I used to hate Bob Greasy in the Miami Dolphins back then, so phenomenal.
Houston Oilers.
Gather around. Get your family and kids around. Even if you have a dinner, stop and just gather around the computer.
Houston Oilers.
Come on, you know the words.
Houston Oilers, number one.
Have a great week, everybody.